Hello everybody, welcome to Melbourne City Council meeting number 28 on Tuesday the 13th of December 2022. We're starting at 5:30 p.m. It is our last council meeting for the year, which is exciting and lots to get through. Welcome to councillors, of course, management and members of the public who are joining us either in person or virtually this evening. Thank you. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which we govern, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and the Bunurong Boonwurrung peoples of the Eastern Kulin, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. We also acknowledge and honour the unbroken spiritual, cultural and political connection that the Bunurong, the Wurundjeri, the Jajawurrung, the Tungwurrung and the Wadawurrung peoples have had with this unique place called Naam for more than 2,000 generations. We are at the City of Melbourne committed to our reconciliation journey, believing that every effort that we make to strengthen relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples has benefits for all Victorians. We note that this meeting is being streamed live and the audio and video recording will be made available on our council website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available on our website as soon as practicable. Can we please check our mobile phones to make sure they're on silent or off for the duration of the meeting? Thank you. Please note that the agenda this evening comprises 10 reports from management, 7 of which are confidential, and 3 items of general business. I do have apologies this evening from Councillors Chang and Councillor Doidge. Now, this week marks the 180th anniversary of the first business meeting of the City of Melbourne. It was in 1842 that the Port Phillip district of New South Wales, as Victoria was then known, had a population of under 24,000 people. There were 1,025 births, 413 deaths, and 515 marriages in that year, and there were 3 post offices in our district. The town of Melbourne Council was created in early 1842, and following elections were at the first meeting of council. The first business meeting was held on the 15th of December, and we formally became a city in 1849, so some years later. But we regularly met as a city council nonetheless, the first meeting being in the Royal Hotel in Collins Street, which is no longer here. But we believe, thanks to the Royal Historical Society of Victoria, that it was on Collins Street, just near the corner of Queen Street on the south side, very close to the centre of town, very close to Customs House, as it was then, now the Immigration Museum. And 180 years later, we are here in our beautiful town hall where we are continuing to deliver for Melburnians and make our city a better, safer and fairer place, and noting that 180 years is very recent history compared to tens of thousands of years of this place being home to so many of our traditional owners. But nonetheless, it's lovely. Today we tried to find the minutes from 1842. We couldn't quite get there, but I think we got to 1862 on the shelves in Town Hall, and very similar issues to do with health, sanitation and economic activation. So, moving on to item 2, councillors, if you have either a general or material conflict of interest in relation to any item to be discussed this evening, please disclose the nature and type of your interest in accordance with the Local Government Act 2020 prior to consideration of the item. I'm calling on a councillor to move a motion adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 27 held on Tuesday 29 November 2022. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded by Councillor Hakim. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour of accepting these minutes, it's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Are there any matters arising from those minutes? None. Thank you very much. We have received the following submissions this evening relating to our agenda item. The first one was agenda item 7.2, notice of motion, Councillor Hakim, funding request to support the pop-up Docklands Neighbourhood House. And the item of correspondence was from Ariel Vallant, director of that centre. And in relation to agenda item 7.3, post-travel report, Councillor Hakim, Public Art, Creative and Social Programs, New Zealand. We had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. You have the most friends this evening, Councillor Hakim. It's official. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of those confidential items listed? No, thank you very much. Well, there are no reports from committee for consideration this evening, but there are three reports from management for consideration, and we'll go to 6.1, which is Global Entrepreneurship Congress-Melbourne 2023. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. Then I am calling on a councillor to move this motion. Councillor Griffiths, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Lelou, thank you, and I move back to you, Councillor Griffiths, as mover of the motion. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Pardon me. Fantastic to be able to move this motion tonight and to finish off our last meeting of the year with a look forward to something that will be so positive for the city in 2023, and worth noting on the 180th anniversary of our City Council meetings that we're still looking to the future and there's so many bright things on the horizon. This is a great example of that. The Global Entrepreneurship Congress next year will bring up to 5,000 people to our city to talk about the very latest ideas in business and innovation, and will really give us the opportunity to showcase what it is that our city offers day to day, week to week, month to month on all of those fronts. It's a large amount of work that we're taking on, and I want to thank our team who are going to be the ones who will be doing the work, because I know that already with some of the work that we've been doing, there's been a lot of time go into meetings, organising the City of Melbourne's involvement in the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, and that's just the very beginning of what's going to be a large task ahead of us, not just for the people from council, but also from volunteers. We're going to ask to come and be city ambassadors so that everyone who does come to Melbourne from over 200 different countries, as I say, up to 5,000 people, will get the most positive experience in our city that they possibly can. Hopefully the opportunity to meet with the Lord Mayor as well, which I know will be exciting for them, and I don't doubt very good for the Lord Mayor as well. This is a fantastic opportunity for the city, and I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to move this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Griffiths. Councillor Lelou.
Thank you, and I echo everything Councillor Griffiths said. I think first and foremost, congratulations to the Melbourne Convention Bureau. They do amazing work for us out there, along with Visit Victoria, in trying to bring successful events and conferences back. And we're very grateful for not only this, but also many other things that they have brought back to Melbourne to represent us as Team Melbourne. I think it's this great feels greatly within Melbourne's remit. There are a lot of great entrepreneurs within Melbourne, and many of City of Melbourne's grant have actually sponsored many of those entrepreneurs for us, Small Business Grants and many others. So I'm sure that they would get a real kick out of having a part of the Global Entrepreneurship Network. Note that, you know, Lord Mayor yourself, you're an entrepreneur as well, as many of us here as well, and we all know the difficult journeys of being entrepreneurs. So it will be great to see this, and looking forward to it. Thank you to the officers, and also note that some of the minor changes in the recommendations, but it'll be also, it's great to have common involvement for our staff to ensure that a City of Melbourne lens is put through it.
Thank you, Councillor Lelou. Any other speakers to this motion? I'll just say hear, hear. I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you, everyone. 6.2 is governance rules early release amendment. Would anybody like a presentation on this? No. I'm calling on a councillor to move this motion. Councillor Lalu, thank you. And a councillor to second, Deputy Lord Mayor. Back to you, Councillor Lalu.
Nothing really to add except has what it is. It's all good that we are amending governance rules to ensure that it delivers more benefits to in line with in terms of expectations, aligned with our community and also stakeholders. I just want to thank the governance team and also Councillor Leppard for all the work that he's done in bringing all this together.
Thank you very much. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. We are indeed considering the final adoption of the proposed changes to our governance rules this evening. The most significant changes were proposed by Councillor Leppard last month at October's FMC through a notice of motion, and thank him for those suggestions and the changes that have now been incorporated, the most important of which is that we have changed the date for the posting of notice of papers to appear before FMC Council. We've extended that from 5 days to 11 days, and that will have the benefit of giving the community more time to have to review and have input on matters coming before Council. We have had the informal practice of endeavouring to release these types of papers as early as possible, but we have heard the concerns of the community about them not having enough time to properly review papers, particularly those that involve complex matters. And so these new rule changes will put a little bit more formality around that and require for those more complex and detailed type policy proposals that they will be posted at the earlier date. I'll just conclude by saying there's no such thing as perfect when it comes to governance. It's an ongoing process, and we're always looking for ways to improve our practice and procedure. And tonight, with the support of councillors for this motion, we will take another step forward. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any other speakers to this motion? None. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous, so we declare that carried. Thanks, councillors. 6.3 is Regent Management Company Pty Ltd. Trading results to 30 June 2021. Would anybody like a presentation? No. I'm seeking a mover to this motion. Councillor Lalu, thank you, and a seconder, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Lalu, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So this is one of our subsidiaries, which we are in partnership with Victorian State Government, where both of us hold half equity shares in this, noting that the trading results has been what is a very difficult time. And again, it just reflected in some of the results. Note that there has been some accounting adjustments where it's the profit and loss, and also in terms of the fixed asset and also asset revaluation reserve has been adjusted. So it's good to see that has happened. But what's the most important is that Vargo has cleared the audit, and with no exceptions noted. It was noted that in FY 2020 to 21, the company reported an operating loss of $1.49 million, and that was a result of a high depreciation expense of $1.91 million, and that was resulting from the change of approach in recognition of the increased carrying value for the building. It also is noted that has most of our subsidiaries, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, it was noted that the company continued to provide rent waiver for the whole financial year to the Mariner Group, with the waiver in proportion to the revenue loss to the Mariner Group's experiencing. Although I hope that given now the rebounds back, and that given more and more people are coming back to the shows, we can expect some solid results and returns in the coming years. I do note that we have COM staff on the, in terms of representation on there. So I just wanted to thank Alison and also Katrina for their work on this, even though we don't, even though it's not a wholly owned subsidiary, but it's one that's very vital and important to us going forward.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thanks, Councillor Leilu. Well, look, it has been a long time since the end of the 2020-21 financial year, almost 18 months, in fact. But tonight we are presented with the last of our subsidiary companies' trading results from that year. The reason for the delay is because the financial reports from the Regent Theatre Company have to be audited by VAGO, the Victorian Auditor General's Office, and they obviously have experienced considerable backlog recently with a lot of work going through in the lead-up to the election and a range of other factors. We're certainly expecting the audit for last financial year's results for the region to be completed by May, and I know the team is confident that we will get that done by May. As Councillor Leilu has identified, this report does correct some minor accounting mistakes that were picked up and involving the reclassifying of some income from the state government as profit to the company. It also notes that 2020-21 was an extraordinary year for the Regent Theatre. Obviously, Melbourne was being hit pretty hard by COVID. City of Melbourne responded in many, many ways to that crisis, including waiving rent for the operations of the Regent. Delighted to say that the theatres of Melbourne are now full again. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is playing at the Regent, and so looking forward to next year's accounts and some bumper results for the Regent Theatre. So very happy to commend to these results to councillors.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers to these trading results? None that I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. And that brings us to the end of reports from management. Thank you, team. We are now on to general business, and there are three items of general business for discussion. The first one, 7.1, is notice of motion, Councillor Leppert, review of local planning policy for licensed venues. I am calling on you, Councillor Leppert, to move the motion.
Moved. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. I am seconding the motion. Back to you as mover. Thank you, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, including and especially for agreeing to second the motion. I'm most grateful to you. It's been 14 years since the current local planning policy for licensed premises was first proposed. It was introduced into the scheme 12 years ago in 2010. And shortly after that, the then government introduced a late-night liquor freeze in the different legislative framework, in the liquor licensing framework. And what that has meant is that for the entire life of the local planning policy, late-night liquor licences have never really been put to the test, except and unless where those exemptions for the late night freeze have come up in recent years. But what has changed in those 12 years is the rest of the planning framework around that local planning policy, whether the land use terms, you know, bar or tavern, whether we've introduced new zoning requirements and planning permit triggers in urban renewal areas, which sometimes aren't caught by the scope of the local planning policy and should be. And, of course, the population of the central city has more than doubled, and so expectations of the community about licensed venues will continue to evolve and put increasing pressure on the policies of the city to ensure that there's an ongoing pipeline of a genuine range of entertainment uses throughout the central city. For all of those reasons, I think it is appropriate that we review the local planning policy and do that now before the 1st of July, which is when that late-night liquor freeze is due to expire. We know that because that was one of the election commitments by the state government, which resoundingly won re-election just a couple of weeks ago. So I think there's a window of opportunity here to partner with the state. I've been quite critical about partnerships with the state on planning matters in recent months, but here I am back again saying, well, maybe this time we've got the opportunity to get it right. But I do think that we have a good case to make to the new planning minister, who I congratulate most sincerely, because the agent of change to the regulatory framework here is the state, not the city. And so I would hope that there's a high level of goodwill to partner with the city in some research next year. And if the opinion of management, when we come back to this matter again in March, is that it is worth pursuing changes to the planning framework, that we can find a pathway to do that efficiently and quickly and fairly, so that everyone that has an interest in this issue understands why it is that government is doing what it's doing. So even though 12 years sounds like not a huge amount of time for a local policy to have been in place, actually, in such a fast-moving geographical area as the central city of Melbourne and in such a fast-changing planning framework, it is actually the perfect time to do that now. And so the proposal is that we take this opportunity if we can and make sure that the regulatory framework as a whole is performing as we intend it to. Little bit boring and wonky, but I think it's an important exercise. Let's take that opportunity. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Thank you for suggesting and moving this motion, which I'm supporting, because this change of state government policy and approach to late night trading gives us the perfect opportunity to review a situation that is in my probably top three in terms of correspondence and what is, as you would expect, a natural tension between residents and businesses. We want this to be what I would call a virtuous cycle, where residents come in because they love the vibrancy of the city and the fact that they can access amazing businesses and cultural offers and great hospitality and retail, green open spaces, etc. But of course that businesses want to come in knowing that this is a place where they can attract lots of people to support their businesses and vice versa. Unfortunately, at the moment, as I said, a lot of correspondence comes in where residents are concerned about, it's not just noise, it's also other elements to do with management of patrons in and out of venues, its impact on amenity more broadly from some of those behaviours, and it's also looking at what are the, or understanding what are the resources available to manage many of these situations going forward, and a lot of that capacity actually sits with the state government still. But by looking at this through a planning lens, I think we're going to get a much more orderly and thoughtful way of looking at how these late night venues interact in our city with various stakeholders, and way in which we can improve the landscape for both business owners, residents and other stakeholders in the city, including visitors and people coming in and out at those late hours. I note that whilst the moratorium was in place, it was supported by a lot of local business owners on the basis that we already have about 100 businesses that have the 3 a.m. Or later or earlier, probably, operating licences. And is that enough within the context of our CBD particularly? And I think looking at it through a planning lens gives us an opportunity to go back and map all those things out and understand what we think works and what doesn't, given the experience we've had to date. So I'm really supportive of the work that is to come and of encouraging the state government to work with us. And I say thanks to our team in advance for the work they're going to do on reviewing how the current rules operate and will operate with the lifting of the moratorium, and what could change to make it more worthwhile for all stakeholders. But we are looking forward to that conversation as well with stakeholders and state government. Enough from me. I'm supporting this motion. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Hakim, thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, thanks, Councillor Leppard and Lord Mayor, for bringing this motion. I think it's really important for us to consider also the evidence that's also come up. We know that there's a changing environment or a changed environment with the pandemic everywhere between residents and businesses. So it's a great time, an opportunity to be able to reflect on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Any other speakers? I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. This brings us to item 7.2, notice of motion. Councillor Hakim, funding request to support pop-up Docklands Neighbourhood House. Would anybody like a... Oh, we don't need a presentation because it's your motion and I'm going to ask you to move it. Councillor Hakim, thank you. And Councillor Dr Ball, seconding the motion. Thank you. Back to you, Councillor Hakim.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. Thanks, everyone, for the work on this. And most of all, thanks to community members who brought this to our attention. We've, of course, been talking about reviewing the way we work in creating grants and opportunities for neighbourhood engagement. That work is continuing. So we will see more of that come through in the next budget. In the meantime, this is a very simple grant just to for short term to ensure that this pop-up continues to support our Docklands community until those structures are finalised. So thank you very much to Ariel and the team for all the work that you do, particularly for community members and in Docklands who don't otherwise have spaces. We know Docklands is impacted quite highly. I do want to also extend kudos to our team, Rushta and the team, for the neighbourhood grant program that's been done recently. That's been really successful, and I'm sure that the new frameworks that will come in the new year and from July will be terrific as well. As part of that, I commend the motion to you, councillors. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dr Ball.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to second this motion and want to thank Ariel for his work on this and other neighbourhood houses. The neighbourhood house movement is incredibly important to our community, and the investment that we put into it pays enormous dividends and achieves multiple of our policy objectives because it connects people. It creates, neighbourhood houses create communities. They reduce isolation. They are, every neighbourhood house is different and has different activities because they are responding to local needs and priorities and aspirations. They are diverse, multicultural, grassroots organisations where people can meet and organise and mobilise and solve problems and educate one another and meet their needs and plan for the future and for improving the world. It does all of these things, and these things need to happen in all of our communities, of course, in Docklands. So we are keen in the coming year to look at, closely at our analysis of the community needs of the Docklands region and look carefully at how we support those community needs in the future. This is just a stopgap measure, but I'm very glad to support it to ensure that this temporary pop-up innovation can go on in the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers to this motion? I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I'm just not sure. Thank you. It's unanimous, so we declare that carried. We are up to 7.3, post-travel report. Councillor Hakim, Public Art, Creative and Social Programs, New Zealand. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? In fact, I'm going to call on Councillor Hakim to make a brief presentation on this item. Thank you, Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for your support in this and going to New Zealand and the work done there. I also want to thank Jason Eads, Director, Aboriginal Melbourne, for accompanying me and working through so many of the meetings that we did there. Big thanks to all the officers and councillors in New Zealand. It was certainly a whirlwind week. We did everything from working through first Maori cultural events and approaches to homelessness, to public art, to libraries, to graffiti and presenting back on what we are doing at the City of Melbourne. Some of my highlights to share with you, it is a very comprehensive report, and I'd like to thank Jack for helping collate the report as well. Some of my highlights that I'd like to share with you this evening are, I've got five highlights that I'll briefly share. Some cultural insights in having conversations in New Zealand, particularly around the way that Maori culture has been integrated into New Zealand culture. And really, I guess one of the biggest differences that I saw there, which is a learning for us, is the bicultural lens that they work from, Maori and everyone else, and how that differs to our multicultural lens, we recognizing that we have many, many countries here in Australia that make up our First Nations peoples and countries and cultures. So that's a slight difference we have there, which is an additional challenge that we have, but some of that integration of language, culture, and those learnings that everyone has is so critical to ensure that there is those learnings across every aspect of the work they do, including things like homelessness. So secondly, you know, the homelessness approach there in New Zealand is really well integrated. The home ground that I visited was something that has just recently finished. It is a similar version of what we're doing right here, the City of Melbourne and Bourke Street, and we'll take some of the learnings they've got to ensure that we're extending them here. It was really exciting to see it in person and be able to see how it has made a difference to homeless people and people who are experiencing homelessness and their lives and what they've got access to and what they're able to do as a result. A Maori approach-led approach as well to homelessness is really important, and it made me really think about what can we do with our First Nations people around that approach to First Nations people who are experiencing homelessness. There are a higher number of people who are experiencing homelessness within the city, so that First Nations-led approach is going to be really important, and learning around the outcomes are stronger and better when it came to using Maori-led approaches to delivering homelessness solutions in New Zealand, and that was really terrific to see. One anecdote I received was with families when we were at the Timau is that the kids were dobbing in their parents when they were doing the wrong thing, because it was all about community and those community expectations, and they were working together as a community to ensure that they're solving their family problems, and those are things that are really critical for us to integrate and ensure that it is led by the First Nations people so that it delivers the results. Of course, public art and, you know, large installations have an impact, and it was really terrific to see what New Zealand's doing there. I can bring back to say, you know, they were just as interested in our own frameworks. Much of the work being done there is based on what we do here at the City of Melbourne, and everyone was asking more and more about what we are doing next. But they have done terrific work in installing public art that interacts with the environment, that creates safe spaces, and that uses local talent and international talent to really bring things on the map, particularly in Christchurch, where street artists all came onto Christchurch post the earthquake and really reshaped that city. And it's terrific to see those works there. And, of course, it comes to then graffiti in community. And I have to commend Auckland City Council and the work they've done in bringing community in right to the heart of the graffiti problem. It's integrated within neighbourhood watches. It's integrated within neighbourhood responses. And it also integrates bringing young people and people who are experiencing social issues to actually be part of the solutions and to bring them and to put wrap their arms around them in that community-minded way. And it was terrific to be able to sit down with the teams and even pick up a brush while I was up there. And finally, you know, my last highlight is around the library. And so a brand new library delivered in Christchurch. Really terrific to see an investment in libraries. But what I really enjoyed is seeing what they've done with the kids' library and the teens' space, taking technology into account. There were specific teen spaces for virtual reality and AR and those new experiences that bring knowledge and play together. It was the same thing in the younger kids' spaces with things that are outside or taking figments of imagination right on the physical space and realm and allowing kids to explore and innovate and learn, which was really terrific. And I hope that we can integrate some of that into our new Munroe Library and beyond into our city library in the future as well. Special thanks to Councillor Alf for spending so much time with me, and, of course, Mayor Phil Goff in Auckland for the time, and Mayor Leanne Dalziel in Christchurch as well. It was great to be able to spend time with all of them and to hear directly from them about the impacts of the pandemic. We have certainly achieved things far beyond what others have been able to do, and there was a lot of interest around our programs, and I feel that very lucky in what we've been able to do. It was very much also special to represent the City of Melbourne in paying respects to those who were lost in the shooting at the Christchurch Mosque and the earthquake as well. So I'd like to pay tribute to them and to recognise the resilience and the strength of the people of Christchurch and what I saw up there. Definitely worth visiting and doing that as well. So that's my report to you, councillors. I hope that, that I've been able to bring lots to share, and I know that I've had lots of meetings over the last few months with officers and with interested councillors as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for that comprehensive presentation. Councillor Hakim, are you happy to move the motion, which is accepting of your travel report?
Yes, happy to move.
Thank you, and I'm going to second that motion. Did you want to add any comments on the moving?
No further comments, just thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Well, as seconder, I note that as Melbourne continues its aspirations and work, of course, to be a world-class city, it's important that we're constantly learning from cities around us and around the world, but particularly those that are close by, give us a great opportunity to be able to easily and for a certainly worthwhile cost be able to get to cities like Auckland and Christchurch, many similar circumstances but also differences, to be able to understand and learn. And that's exactly what Councillor Hakim has done. Really appreciative that many of those areas of interest are within your portfolio-led responsibilities around creative interests in libraries, and that you've brought many of those learnings back into your more detailed discussions in Town Hall. But grateful, and of course public art, I should say, but grateful as well that following a conversation I had with the Mayor of Christchurch, you were also able to add that part of your trip to be able to look at some of the things they've been doing around tagging and graffiti. I know you did the same in Auckland. And to learn from some of their newer building and capital works projects. So very appreciative of that. I also note the work and insight you brought back, and you just mentioned on home ground. And I know pre-COVID we looked at the plight of people experiencing homelessness, and often I was involved in conversations where it just seemed too difficult, too costly, too complex to solve these issues. But when we go to other cities and see some of the initiatives they have underway, I think it gives us confidence that we really can make what seemed to be impossible possible. And that's driving a lot of our focus on Make Room as well. So thank you, Councillor Hakim, for the invaluable learnings and insights brought back from your travel, and I'm really pleased to be seconding this motion this evening. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Rees, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Just very quickly, I also wanted to compliment Councillor Hakim for this report and the serious breadth of important issues that he covered in his report. For many years, I thought Councillor Louis was the champion when it came to keeping a comprehensive pictorial record of his travels, but I think Councillor Hakim now holds that title given the excellence of the pictorial records that are included in this report. And terrific that you saw the Mayor of Auckland as well, Phil Goff, you know, obviously as a long-time Labor leader, opposition leader in New Zealand, a very, very well-known figure in New Zealand politics and a great leader of that city. So well done for meeting with Phil Goff. Councillor Hakim.
Good. Maybe that could be the annual award now that we can start travelling again. So very happy with that. All right, any other speakers to the motion? No, then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. So we declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Are there any items of urgent business that you would like to propose on this, our last council meeting for the year in open? No, then I am calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public so that we can consider confidential business. Anyone help me out here? Councillor Hakim, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Campbell. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. Well, we are closing our open meeting, and it is proper for me to say happy holidays, all the best for the festive season, and Merry Christmas to everybody. It is a time to acknowledge the efforts of our team, many of whom are here with us tonight, many of whom aren't, but to say on the record it's been a stupendous 2022, and we appreciate all of the positive outcomes being delivered in our community, reflecting the hard work, determination, dedication of our team. So thank you very much, team. Councillors, of course, thank you for your professionalism, your care, your commitment, very much appreciated. But really, to members of the public, for your interest, your attendance throughout the year, your submissions, whether they're written or verbal, your engagement with us as a council, particularly with our community FMCs, we really appreciate that as local government being right at the coalface with community, that relationship is so important, and we really respect and appreciate every effort you've made to engage with us over this year. We wish everybody all the best over the summer, and we look forward to seeing you in 2023. It's that time of year. Don't forget to come in for New Year's Eve. Make plans. We look forward to seeing you then or after. And I'm calling the open meeting closed to the public at 6:12 p.m. on the 13th of December 2022. Thank you very much.